Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 502. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Woo-hoo!
Tony just deflated. Earl is here.
I'm just going to apologize in advance for when somebody finds this episode in a year and I get, you know, in trouble for something I said. So, this is my sincere apology. I'm sorry that I offended you in any fashion. It wasn't my intentions. I didn't know it would come off that way.
Good. I'm glad you got that out of the way. Jack is here.
I'm also sorry for trying to fuck everybody.
I knew it. I knew that was just cool.
The cool thing is, I can't get canceled because I'm nobody. Like, you could dig through my Twitter and, like, if I was a famous person, it would be like, I would be fucking done for.
I think the problem with that sometimes is that people don't think they're going to become famous. They become famous, and then Roy is like, oh, crap. I never can. Like, really, what they should start doing is hiring people. Like, hiring social media firms to just kind of clean up your history. Because there are people who get famous who just kind of their entire account is start from scratch.
I think the better way to do it is to make your entire brand being an asshole, so then, like, nobody's surprised by anything that you said in the past, because you were just always fucking a total dick and a perv and all that.
On the other hand, then you'd have to be that. That's the problem.
Tony?
That's the problem. You shouldn't be like that. That's the issue.
Yeah, but there's certain people, I can't think of a good example right now, but there's certain people like that that will not get in trouble because no one, Donald Trump, no one expects Donald Trump to, like, you go back in his old tweets, you know they're going to be bad because his new tweets are bad.
Well, I was going to say, that's different, though, because he gets in trouble for everything.
He's a terrible example, but...
Yeah, at this point, it's not that he's not getting in trouble, it's that he gets in so much trouble. That it's really hard to sometimes remember, like, why you were mad at him last week, because he did something this morning to get you pissed off at him, so.
He is impressive that way. We'll give him that.
Could shock me here and there.
Impressive is a choice of words.
Yeah. I mean, just like, how do you keep topping yourself that you've made me forget about the awful atrocity that you committed just 72 hours ago.
Exactly.
Oh, I mean, I missed this because I was playing video games and not related, but Tenet just got delayed again. So, I mean, at this point, I mean, honestly speaking, we've had this discussion about, like, at this point, just kind of move any movie that you were going to open this summer and take the fall and just start moving everything back.
We were talking about that before the show. It's like, it's just not happening until, like, if they want, you know, especially with the amount of money they put into a movie like that, they're not going to be happy with, like, a $20 million opening or something. Like, it's just not happening until there's a vaccine or something. I don't know. Like, I'd be amazed if it actually does come out.
To kind of parlay that into actual game news, though, I mean, we have stuff like the, you know, they're showing some of Christopher Nolan's movies in Fortnite tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that is a thing that's going to happen. Not my ideal way to watch movies. Not my ideal way to watch a Christopher Nolan movie. But I do think that, you know, like, at some point you should have, you're going to have to be creative with this. I think what's happening now is, and as somebody who enjoys bad movies, I think what happened is a lot of people just started dumping their trash that wasn't going to do well anyhow onto on demand. So it went from like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that we're not going to have to go to the movies to see this movie today. Like, oh, yeah, if they're putting this on streaming service, it's not good.
There's a reason, like, Disney dropped Artemis Fowl on Disney Plus, right? Like,
yeah. Like, it's exciting on paper, then you watch Artemis Fowl, and you're like, oh, okay, I see why.
That probably should have never been a theatrical. That should have been a Disney Plus movie to begin with. Just saw a tweet just now. Imagining a future where Tenet is bumped back month by month until a vaccine is available.
Yeah, I mean, because at this point,
that's what it seems like is happening here.
They need to. It's not even month by month. It's 2 weeks by 2 weeks. They just need to.
Yeah, what's going to change?
Because then you're just kind of forcing the marketing. Because they started the marketing campaign, then you have to re-edit the movies for the new date. Then you have to re-edit it again, and it's like just kind of like. Call a spade a spade. It's not going to be out until at least October. on the bright side, I mean, January might have movies we want to see. Because I do think it's a very narrow window, but there's going to be a movie or two that benefits from everybody wanting to go back to normal and being really big.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be some fucking random piece of shit movie that's just going to make an insane amount of money at the box office.
Yeah.
Like, I do think at some point, though, stuff just gets delayed till next summer, because another problem is like, nothing is like really in production right now. So like, if all these movies came out, then next summer we have nothing when we could go to the theaters. It's like bad scenario.
Yeah, like, it was weird and stupid when it started, but the Fast and Furious being delayed an entire year to next year, we're not gonna play this game. We're just gonna push it back to a year from when we were originally gonna open anyhow. You grab a window that wasn't really occupied by anything, and you don't have to worry about like this game of like, will they, won't they?
I was just gonna say there's many movies that I would pay the $20 rental on, like Tenet. I'd pay $20 to see that. Yeah. Halloween, obviously. Even like something like Spiral, I might have paid $20 to see.
Yep.
But all right, so what would you pay though? Let's say it's higher than 20. What would you like? What's your max to see Tenet?
25. Really? Like,
really?
That's it. That's as high as it.
$30, you're out. You're fucking sitting on your hands.
Yeah, because at that point, then, like, because I don't own it, right? Like,
yeah, but you got to cover like the fact that they're not going to make as much money. Remember, we had this whole conversation and all that.
And but they were only going to, like, for Tenet, they were only going to make the ticket sales off of me to start with, right?
Yeah.
And granted, I was probably going to use my A list, you know, if we weren't in nightmare scenario. So they were getting whatever AMC was going to pay them for my one ticket, but like that's it. Like, I'll give you 25 to like let me watch it here because I want to. But and that's more than I would have paid if I went to the theater.
Earl, Tony,
I don't know. I'm not going to the theater in forever, so I'm not.
No, but what would you pay? Like, if Tenet is the one for you.
I will be honest with you, as somebody who knows his way around the internet, I wouldn't pay for it. I'm calling it a spade a spade. I will buy it outright, but if the choice is between renting it for $20-25 or acquiring it through other means, and this is why I'm part of this show, it's like, this is why like, I don't mind if it's on Disney Plus or HBO Max or Netflix or whatever. That's fine. But like, if the choice is like, oh, you can rent it for a weekend for $20, it's either I'm going to wait it out or I'm going to find other means to get it. I'm just going to be honest with you here.
Well, like, I wouldn't torn it because I had a bad experience with that. But I,
mean, honestly,
but I would use one of those sites, but those sites are fucking terrible, like with the pop-ups and shit. Like, you know, I've had times where like you just like I just give up. I tried so many times to play the movie. I'm getting all these porn ads and shit. Like, it's fucking pain in the ass, dude.
It's like my normal life. I want to opt into the porn. I normally look for it, but right now I don't want it.
Trying to watch a stupid summer movie.
Porn is for later. Leave it alone.
Just trying to watch Phantasm 5, but give me Russian porn ads.
I would go up to at least $30 for Halloween. I'll tell you that much.
No,
I don't know how much higher, but honestly, fucking $60, whatever. I'll fucking pay it.
All right. Well,
Jack, don't tell them I said that. Don't tell them I said that.
Jason Blum has heard that.
You heard it here first.
And also, I will say, just especially with Christopher Nolan. For example, I've been rewatching the Transformer movies recently. I mean, and by watching, I mean I put them on the TV and I go to work, and they just make constant noise. So you hear stuff every so often. And I look at the screen, and it's one of those movies that was filmed for IMAX, but not fully filmed for IMAX. So, like, it has that really weird change in ratio thing that like The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises has as well. But unlike those movies where it's like, oh, we're just going to film entire scenes in IMAX, Transformers is like, we're going to film half of the scene in IMAX, half of the scene not in IMAX. So it's really like, there was a scene where I think it's Mark Wahlberg talking to, what is his name? Anthony Hopkins. And it's like going back and forth and them talking, and one's filmed in IMAX and one isn't. And it's so weird because you can literally see the screen shrink and grow, shrink and grow, shrink and grow. And so I'm just dumb. Like, yeah, it is really dumb. I only bring that up because there are certain films that are just made to be seen on the big screen. And as much as I dislike them, Transformers was always one of those franchises to me where it's like, it's big, it's out, it's dumb, but you want to see it on the biggest screen possible. Because like watching it at home, it does nothing for me.
Yeah. It's an event movie, right? Like, it's you need that surround environment. You need the huge screen to get the feel of the Transformers being gigantic. I get that. Christopher Nolan is one that I like. He's a director that I would go to I do go to the theater to see. But if they gave me the option to watch it at home, I would.
Which again, which is why I think it's so funny that they're like, I don't even mind the idea of Fortnite showing movies in game, but you pick Christopher Nolan, who is like the guy who's like, oh, I'm not going to film digitally. I'm going to film on film. I'm going to create a new type of camera to film scenes of the Dark Knight in IMAX. I'm going to do this, that, and the third, and be like, okay, you know what? Christopher Nolan really would want us to show his movie on a screen within a screen. That's just the type of guy he is.
With my son, I asked my son, I was like, oh, are you going to watch Inception in Fortnite? And he was like, huh? And I explained it to him. He's like, oh, I'll check it out. But that's an awful way to watch anything. The sound is terrible. The screen is within the screen. There's people jumping in front of you.
Yeah. And it's so weird, especially being that because other markets got something like Batman Begins, where it's like, okay, at least then you have a superhero, where it's like, Inception is a very heady movie.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, it's a great movie. I enjoy it and I'd recommend watching it if you haven't seen it. But I don't necessarily think it's a movie that has that cultural crossover with Fortnite players.
No, not at all. We got Inception and then some other markets got Batman Begins and then somebody got The Prestige.
Yes, and that was the only one.
Prestige is a great movie, but not a movie you want to watch like, in a fucking video game. Oh, well, yep, that was some news that happened this week, though.
Yep, that was. And I will be honest with you. Well, I don't even know, because I was going to say I might check it out, but like, that's something they had an event. Like, they capped their thing so fast that you didn't even get in. I'm like, yeah, I would check it out just to kind of see it. Because it's weird, because I'm like, this is dumb in Fortnite, but I remember, like, I was a huge advocate of, like, the Xbox, the Netflix party thing they used to have on Xbox, where it's like, you would watch the movie with your friends and then have your little avatar in the front.
Fucking RIP, man. Missed that.
That was awesome.
Yes, but that's awesome, but being in Fortnite is dumb to me. And it's a weird disconnect. I mean, part of it, I think, is because that was set up for it to just be the movie, and it's just, like, the movie with, like, your friend. It was just a way to sync the movie with your friends in general.
Yeah.
What Netflix party tries to do, but it's not. I want something on my TV. That's really what I want. I want something on my TV.
So weird that Netflix got rid of that.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's weird they haven't brought it back because I think Hulu started messing around with it. It seems like the perfect time to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we're going on to 4 months now.
Yeah, I mean, I would sit there and watch our recurring Nightmares movies with Jeff if we could.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was some news that happened. If you didn't quite get the inflection of Earl's apology and Jeff's apology at the beginning, there has been a shit storm of accusations of abuse on Twitter for the entire industry, from top to bottom, like development to
to press, dreamers to you name it. Everybody's gotten accused in some fashion. I will say, I think the best statement I read is that you would think somebody at some point would have thought it's a terrible idea to have all your industry get-togethers in CD dark bars, which I think is very true.
Yep. I listened to the Giant Bombcast this week, and kind of like Jeff Gerstmann and Brad Shoemaker's kind of like review of things that have happened over the last 10 years or so was interesting. Like, and just how they've kind of maybe distanced themselves from that as well. But yeah, like, why was every industry event like an open bar event in like a small bar somewhere? It just seemed like
you're asking for trouble. Yes, I mean, part of it I get from a logistical events planning standpoint. Those are usually the bars that don't offer, like, there's no overhead. They're usually pretty chill with, you know, like, it's hard to, like, you know, as somebody who does events for in real life, like, it's the high end bars, like, because you're taking away business, they usually ask for a deposit. They'll ask for an upfront. You don't necessarily.
It's expensive.
You know, yeah. So I get that from a, but like, a lot of these are like if this is fine, if it's like a, if it's like us getting together, that's fine. But if you're like IGN, if you're like, if you're Activision or EA or anybody else, like, you have that money. Like, it's expensive, but it's not like it's thousands and thousands of dollars. You can afford it. And to be fair, some of the people who do have some of those high-end events do afford it. Like, those are the ones you get the swag, and they cap it at like 200 people or whatever. They control, they have their guest list and everything. That's controlled. But yeah, a lot of these events are, and again, it's not a big deal. I go get drinks, food, free swag, go home. But yes, it does invite a certain type of clientele. And I mean, in general, people are sketchy at bars in general. Mm-hmm. You feed them a ton of free alcohol and food. People don't know how to act around women. Yeah, it's not a great combination.
Yeah, just hearing about how, like, some people possibly drugged at bars and drinks meant for other people. And it was some fucked up shit.
Oh, yeah, and it's insane. And the thing that always gets me is, like, this stuff comes out, and then it's like an avalanche of accusations. And then people are always like, oh, like, if this happened years ago, why didn't you bring it up? And usually there's two main answers for that. One is they probably did bring it up and nobody paid attention to them at the time. Or exactly what's happening now is, like, if you bring it up, you get attacked. You're bad for hurting this person, like, or that person who's like, oh, they seem like a good person. Why are you attacking the character? That can't be true. Maybe it was a misunderstanding.
The creative director of Ubisoft. He makes games that I like. He must be a good person. Except for the fact that he's cheating on his wife with all these women, none of whom know he's married.
That was the only one, though, where I was like, why is that, like, a public thing? But then I found out that, like, I guess he was doing it to employees, too. Like, he was
employees, interns, streamers, like, people that he works with.
Yeah, like, then that one, at first I was like, why would you step down? Like, isn't it, like, between him and his wife or whatever? Like, yeah, he's a bad person, but whatever.
Well,
like,
see, I hate that argument, though. The whole between him and his wife thing has been used by men for years,
dude,
to
if
isolate
someone
women when they've been doing this kind of shit.
Okay.
And it's a terrible, terrible argument that no man should use ever. This is what I'm telling you, Jeff, right now. I never want to hear those words out of your mouth ever again.
Listen to me. If someone at your work, if it came out, if someone at your work was cheating on their wife, would they be fired for it? You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. I was like,
well, I mean, it depends on how they're cheating on their wife.
If they're doing it with, if they're fucking their employees, yeah, then it's.
Well, I mean,
the problem there is it's your conduct at work.
Well, I think some of the other stuff too was he was using industry events to hook up with women,
yep.
And then lying to them about him not being married, which then creates the, you know, like, hey, maybe somebody doesn't sleep with you if they know you're married.
Yeah.
So you trick them into sleeping with you, and you used your industry clout at an event to do that. So, like, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that.
Well, the more I heard about that story, I was like, yeah, it makes sense, everything that happened. But at first I was like, man, are people going, like, a little insane here? What's going on? This guy cheated on his wife? And
I think it's like, as Earl said, it comes up, like, how he cheated on his wife. Like,
using his career and, like, networking and shit. Like, yeah, like, it's...
Right, like
yeah, and I mean, it also sucks, but, like, even if he was not cheating at work, if you're using your status as an Ubisoft representative for people in the industry, that is still, like, it may not be an Ubisoft employee, but you're still abusing that position and that trust in that organization. I mean, that's the whole point of predatory behaviors. Is, like, you can be like, you have power that you use to over people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the guy being a shitbag just for cheating on his wife, like,
yeah,
there's other things going on.
Yes. There
too. I think my favorite was, not favorite because they're all horrible, and this wasn't actually related to any of, it was related but not related to, like, the, these, was the one with the Mixer story came out, where, like, that dude's like, oh, let me explain, like, my time at Mixer as, like, one of the old Jack McCray is there.
The next day it was gone.
Yeah. Next day, oh, we're still on Mixer to Facebook. Like, wait, what happened here? Like, I assume it's, like, it was something that was in the works long ago, but it just comes off as really bad timing. It's like, you're, I think Phil Spencer was also... Like, he's like, oh, I'll take a meeting with you to discuss this and whatever. Yep, and like, yep. The next morning, it's like we're being sold to Facebook Gaming. And of course, like, it was like, I think it might have been in the works, but it seems like it was something they just announced, because even people who worked at Mixer weren't in the know that they were being sold.
Yeah, that one kind of came out of nowhere. Good news, at least, though, for those that hate Facebook. It is not going to necessarily be integrated directly into the Xbox UI. Like, it's not going to default like Mixer did, like, to be your streaming service. Actually, if you go to Mixer's page or Xbox page, they actually recommend that you stream on Twitch now, or use a external capture device to stream to, like, another service if you want. They don't name Facebook Gaming in that, so it's weird.
Money well spent by Facebook there.
Indeed.
I don't know what they paid for it, but they did not get the two big streamers that Mixer had signed. Like, Ninja was paid out by Microsoft, and so was Shroud, who I don't know who Shroud is, but he's evidently another big streamer. Both of them were paid out their contracts with Mixer and can go wherever they want now.
Yeah, that is. I mean, I'm not going to regret somebody making their hustle. You get signed to this huge bonus. You do it for not even a year, I think.
Yeah, 326 days. Somebody said was Ninja with
service. That worked out well for him.
Yeah, he gets, what, $10 million for that?
$30 million. For a year's worth of work. Oh, wow. And then there was, like, the kind of IGN nightmare that went down about how their management was really shitty for quite some time, which is a shame because they lost a lot of good talent during that time period.
Yep.
And
it's always fascinating to kind of see that stuff in hindsight, where it's like, why are you protecting, one or two people and losing everybody else?
Yep.
Because I can't. I mean, you know, I've been in organizations where we lost a lot of great people because, like, one bad manager, and it's just like, why not get rid of this manager instead of beating all of this talent? Because you're using years of experience and internal knowledge and skills to protect one person who sometimes easy to see, like, they don't offer as much, or you can find somebody to replace one person.
I mean, at the last company I worked at, there was a bad district manager like that, and I think, you know, my theory of, like, he's still there at the company, and my theory is, like, he gets them the results that they want. Like, all they're looking at is numbers, and people are afraid to call HR on him because, you know, they're afraid nothing will happen, and then it puts a target on their back and shit. And,
yeah. Which is something that very clearly happened with some of these stories that came out. Like, they were reported to HR, and they were just, shit was just pushed under the rug. Like,
yeah, I think it was the Mixer story as well, where he's like, yeah, reported to HR. Like, HR's like, oh, you know, whatever. They didn't take care of it. He left the organization, and then like a few months later, HR's like, we investigated, we didn't find anything, thank you, go on about your day. Because like, they investigated, and I think his attorney, and this is something that's always a crapshoot, because the attorney you usually get for these things are the attorney who's hired by your organization.
Right. And that was the issue with the Cards Against Humanity stuff too, right? Like, was didn't really have an HR department. So shit was just really bad there.
Yeah. Though to be fair, how could anybody be surprised that Cards Against Humanity has a toxic work environment? I mean, we've all played their product. Their product it wasn't coming out by good people.
Right. I mean, look, there was a time in where I found that game amusing.
You saying you don't like it anymore?
The problem is, like, when you play with the same people, you end up getting the same answers over and over. And, like, you know how to play it, right? Like,
yeah,
I've played with this person so much, I know what's going to make them pick my card.
So, yeah. We finally got the game recently, like in the last 6 months or whatever, and we got like an expansion with it, and it's just like, well, I guess not the last 6 months because we don't see people anymore. Maybe last summer we got it. We got the game with an expansion like last summer, and it was just, like the first night, everyone's dying, and then like by now, every time you play it, you're like, okay, I guess I've seen all the cards now. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, that's why they come out with expansion.
Yeah. And you know what cards to play for who to play them with, and it just becomes like the same over and over again.
I do think that the cards are well written though, like really funny. Like I don't
know. There are two ways to play that game. There's like Chris says, you either play with people you know. In that case, you end up with a very similar because it's like, oh, I know this person's humor. I know what they're going to go with.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, you want to go with something dry and punny. The other way to do it, which is the one that gets you in trouble, is like if you pair it randos and you just go with the most offensive thing.
Yeah, I always just try and pick the most shocking thing, and like that is the thing that like if you know me after playing like one game, you know, like I'm usually gonna pick the most shocking thing. Like,
yeah, and that's there are versions of. There are, not versions, but there are games like Cards Against Humanity that are a bit more, it's a family frenzy, or a bit as problematic. There's even a version, I forget what it's called, which is essentially, it's like Cards Against Humanity with none of the problematic stuff. So,
Apple's
no homophobia, no transphobia, you know, no like racial slurs and stuff like that. Like you would think that takes up, but there are ways to do that stuff without making fun of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can still be raunchy and stuff, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, it should not have come as any surprise that maybe, like, those guys were shitbags.
Hey, having been to, like, one video game company's meet and greet in my life, I'm not surprised by any of the stories that came out this week. Put it that way.
Well, I mean, part of it is, again, it's a Boy Scout, and, like, there's stuff that, like, would it be acceptable if we all hung out and did it? No. But would we do it? Yes. Because nobody's going to complain. I'm not saying us, but I'm saying like there are stuff that guys do together where like, you know, like you might be like, oh, you know, cut it out. That's stupid. But they continue doing it. So you joke. It's just for fun. Loosen up. Don't be such a tight ass. Stuff like that. So it makes sense that you don't understand how you make other people feel. And this isn't just a gender thing, you know. It's the same thing with race or sexual orientation, where people just assume like, oh, like everybody's cool with this, or like, you know, I always joke like the funniest person in your office is your boss because you laugh at anything they say because you want to make a good impression. So they don't get the feedback like what they're saying is stupid, idiotic, or hurtful. So they continue doing that. Or you create an environment where somebody's new and they're like, wait, what's going on? It's like, oh, you know, it's just Bob. This is what he does. You'll get used to it. And it persists.
Yeah. You know, like the one, you know, event I was thinking of, I went to like in 2010 too. I think things are changing over time. You know what I mean? I think some of the shit that flew in 2010 wouldn't even come close to happening now.
But some of it, part of this is like, this is stuff that has come up before with me too. So it's just more like shining a spotlight on gaming. And that was several years ago. And the fact that people didn't keep up their act then.
Just like, all right, I'll throw one thing out, like kind of speaking to what you were saying a minute ago. Like, you know, when I hang out with my group of guys or whatever here, like back 10 years ago, you'd hear a lot of like homophobic jokes and people throwing around the F word and stuff like that. You'd never hear it now. I talked about it with my one friend, you know, like a couple months back. We were like talking about, like, you know, he's like, I don't use that word anymore. I'm like, I haven't used that fucking word in years. And I'm like, you know, and we were talking about it, I'm like, let's say we have a poker game and a bunch of guys playing. I don't know, one of them could be gay. And like, I don't want them to feel like I hate him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm not going to say shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, and that's something that, like, just that conversation between my friend, me and my friend, like, that wouldn't happen between me and him, like, 15 years ago, you know?
No, not at all. Yeah. You're right.
Like, yeah, I mean, they're coming out of high school, like, just, you know, getting in a car with your friends and, like, you say dumb shit, say, like, dumb, hurtful shit that, like, you, I would certainly not say now, but it definitely happened. And like those people wouldn't say that now either.
Like, but it's like, if you're saying you did say that shit back then, you're like, I think you're full of shit. You watch a comedy from fucking 2006. Like, you're going to hear it. Like,
that's why I was going to bring that up. So like, I'm watching I started watching Community recently. And I'm like on the second season and there's just like a bunch of like, I like it. I think it's a pretty good show, and it's very inclusive in a lot of cases, but there's, like, a lot of, like, jokes between the old dude Pierce and the main character Jeff, where, like, it's just, like, a lot of gay jokes. Like, neither of them are gay, but they, like, both, like, play off of, like, oh, Jeff's gay. Like, it's just, like, it's a weird thing, like, because it's not something you would generally get in a comedy today.
I think a great example is Harold and Kumar, which is like remembered as this like kind of progressive, like kind of smart comedy at the time. I went back and rewatched it last year, and a lot of that's true. But like, dude, there's so much homophobia in that movie. Like, I was like, holy shit, I don't remember any of this. Like, because it was just that was just like normal humor back then.
Yeah, Jeff and I recorded this other show, Recurring Nightmares, and we recorded last night. And one of the movies I watched over the last month was I went back and we watched 10 Things I Hate About You, which is Heath Ledger, Julia Stiles, teenage romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very like, good.
There are a lot of really bad ideas in that movie.
Yeah. It's really, like, I think I still like it. Like, there's like a, you know, like, I still came away like, oh, this was fun. But, oh my god, there's so many problematic ideas. Like, the main premise of, like, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character paying somebody to, like, deceive the older sister of, you know, the girl he wants to get with so that he can get with her. It's inherently fucked up. And, I mean, I'm glad that, like, you know, as a society, we are slowly moving in a different direction. But.
Yep. But there's a lot of whole, like, no means no, but not in that movie. Cause yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yep. On, I guess, less, like...
There's no good way to transition out of that, yes.
No, there's there isn't. Like, there's...
And things that aren't totally horrible.
Yes!
I don't know if it's not totally horrible, but we did get new footage of Marvel's Avengers this week.
I want it. I want it so bad now. I didn't really like before. I like Avengers. I like video games. So it seemed kind of like a good idea, but now I've actually seen it and I want that.
So
you saw that and you want that? Okay.
So what, I do. What is inspiring that, Tony? Because I think I'm a little bit more positive on it than maybe Earl is, but
yeah. I mean, I like Thor, so, you know, the fact that the trailer focused on Thor and, like, him throwing the hammer around and, like, playing around with the hammer looks cool. Like, you could see him, like, throwing the hammer and then fighting in combat and then calling it back. It just looked really awesome.
That's one way to describe it, I guess.
You didn't like that? I mean, you can't, like, have the hammer be like the hammer would really be, right? I mean, he can't, walk around and, like, set it on things and, like, so they can't move ever. Or, like, with one swing of his mighty hammer, he kills every enemy. Like, you can't have that in a video game.
I get that. I get that. I even get the fact that, like, he's getting beat up by these robots, and I'm like, they shouldn't be doing any damage to him. It's more like it just kind of seems like a brawler, which isn't what I was expecting. I'm still not entirely sure what it is. Because, like, everybody plays slightly different, but I'm like, because this is a guess. This is a game that's service, I think.
That's what they've been saying, yes.
Yeah.
But everything kind of made, like, somebody, I think it was Watt who said it kind of looks like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the original one.
I'm it like, does. It does look a lot like that. And we need another one of those games, Earl. Stop being so negative.
I enjoy Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was disappointing. And I think this is a chance for us to have a new one that's actually good.
I think the game was
fine, but it wasn't. I wouldn't call it good.
I'm glad you are excited for this. I will probably play it, and Earl has also committed to probably buying it as well. So we can all play together.
Much like Tony, I enjoy video games. I enjoy superheroes. I will probably be there day one. Doesn't mean I'm going to be happy about it, but I'll be there.
To me, it's just like and maybe the gameplay will be more fun. Like, I am not a fan of Thor, so the fact that this trailer focused on Thor specifically was a little bit dull for me.
Because there was other gameplay as well, because there was his gameplay, and I think there was, like, the multiplayer gameplay.
Yeah, they showed a little bit of the multiplayer stuff where they kind of showed Miss Marvel abusing her, like, giant arms. And, like, that looked interesting. Like, at least they seemed to play differently. And then we've seen the Iron Man gameplay, because that was last E3. And he flies around and can shoot stuff out of his hands and stuff. So it looks like there's different play styles, at least.
That does remind me. This is to a point that we discussed last week with Chris about, like, this non-E3 thing where everybody's kind of doing their own thing. And I think this one, and I think the Cyberpunk one, which we'll get to in a second, examined one big issue I've had with this, like, sprinted E3. Is that everybody kind of takes what would be, like, maybe a 5-minute presentation in a press conference, and are like, we have to stretch this out to, like, half an hour.
Yeah, and the Cyberpunk one was really bad about that.
Oh, all of them are bad about it. It's like these things that would normally be part of someone else's press conference are now, like, all unto themselves, and it's just not working out very well.
Yeah, it's like nobody's, like, everybody's like, crap, we have to do this, but nobody's going to turn around for, like, a 5-minute video, so we hear, or you have to, like, make it something they want to watch. And the problem is they turn it into this thing where it's just like, you did not need to make that half an hour for me. Like, I just needed the trailer, some gameplay, and we're good to go. You don't need to have somebody talking for, like, 10 minutes explaining these stuff that you're going to explain again in the tutorial when I buy this game later this year.
So did they say when Avengers is coming out? September. Well, there's that.
Yeah, so they didn't delay it, which is nice.
Yeah. And everything else.
That's part of the conference.
They also added a steelbook to my Best Buy pre-order, so thank you.
Nice.
I don't need it, but I'll take it.
I do hope the performances are a little more emotional. When it comes out, because between what they showed here with Thor and what they showed previously with Iron Man, like, very, I thought the deliveries were very wooden.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm mostly going to play that game for the story. So,
which is interesting, because Crystal Dynamics' other games are very story heavy and very well acted.
Yeah.
It does not seem to be the case here.
Yeah. So we'll see. And as Earl said, there was a Cyberpunk presentation, if you want to call it that. I watched that. Did you guys see any of it?
No.
I've been avoiding that game because I already know I'm buying it.
Yeah, I kind of want to be surprised.
I want to be surprised, that's right. Yeah.
That's probably a better choice than watching this shit show. It was so boring. Super dull. Like
I heard it was boring. Like I saw people tweeting about how boring it was, and I was like, you know, I think I can do other stuff right now.
Yeah, were you saying it was just like a tutorial or something?
So they start off with like a pretty cool like story based trailer where they kind of explain who your character is, and that was interesting, and that's all from like the prologue, and then they talked a little bit, and then they were going to show some gameplay, and it was this. It was kind of like this almost Batman-like ability to view a scene, and like you can like rewind and fast forward and focus on things in the environment. It's like an investigation type feature gameplay mechanic. But what they showed was like the tutorial for it. So it was just like you have this lady talking on how to do, like, in your ear, in the character's ear, on how to, like, utilize this mechanic. And it was just really dull. Like, I would have preferred to, like, they show it in action maybe later in the game. And they know how to use it, so they could use it expertly. And then have, like, one of the developers kind of explain, like, what's happening. Because the way it was presented was just really dull. It was like, this is, like, 7 minutes of dark screen, because the game is, at least the environments they showed today were not very well lit. The game looks amazing, but it's very dark. And and then it's just this tutorial piece, so it was like dull, slow gameplay. This isn't what I'm here for. And then they showed another trailer, and it was like more action oriented, and that was kind of cool, but. Yeah, this is something that maybe would have been the 3 or 4 minutes on the Microsoft stage.
Yeah. I did not see it. My favorite part of it, though, is they had a press release, and as part of their press release, they detailed all of the cosmetic options in creating your character, which included something. Let me see if I have this correct. 6 kit skin types, 35 hairstyles, 17 eyes, 8 eyebrows, 17 eyes, 17 mouths, 17 jaws, 17 ears, 8 bits of cyberware, 9 types of scars, plus off, 6 types of tattoos, plus off, 11 piercings, plus off, 5 types of teeth, 8 bits of eye makeup, 5 bits of lip makeup, 3 blemishes, 3 types of nipples, 5 types of body tattoos, 2 types of body scars, 2 dick types, 1 vagina, dick size options, and 5 types of pubic hair.
So, how much pubic hair are they showing in this game? If it matters.
Like, well, that's what you choose.
I was thinking the same.
That's what I was going to ask. Is Chris Watts, how much are you naked that you have to pick a dick type and dick
like,
size?
Were you right, naked so, during the tutorial? Is it like one of the things you have to do in the game is like put on clothes every morning? Is that
so
like
here's the weird thing about it, right? Is it's a first person game. Like.
So you only see this stuff when you're like looking in a mirror or something.
I guess, like, I mean, they like what they showed, like, was this guy being strapped down to get like modifications or something, and you're seeing it from like first person perspective. So you are seeing like feet and like legs and stuff, but it didn't seem like you were seeing a whole lot of that in action, like when the game's actually playing. So that's really weird. Like, is there a multiplayer component to this game? Like, can people join your game and see
maybe
your
game? Have a wild cyberpunk orgy? I don't know.
Maybe. Would that be awesome? I'm not sure if it would.
No. Not at all.
Like, the sex scenes from The Witcher are, like, the most awkward part.
Yeah.
A game based around them. No, thank you.
Like, here's a future orgy of the game. Yeah,
look, I could take off my arm. Look at all the new positions we can get into.
I can use it to prop me up over here. I guess the other piece of news is that Sony did say that Sony didn't say, CD Projekt Red said that the same deal that they're offering for the Xbox applies for the PlayStation 5 as well. If you buy it on the Xbox One or PS4, you'll get the upgraded version on. You'll be able to play it on the Xbox Series X or the PS5, and then at some point in the future, they will be releasing an enhanced version for those systems, and that will be free of charge as well.
Yeah.
So.
Which is good. It means I don't need to change my pre-orders.
Yeah, you can just get whatever you got, and you'll get the best version. In fact, if you're getting it on Xbox, that is how Microsoft has been describing, I guess, their smart delivery is whatever game you buy, the Series X will play the best possible game, best possible version of that game for you on whatever system you're on. So.
And maybe I've not been paying attention to this as much as I should have been. How does this work for physical copies?
I don't know. My assumption is that probably similar to how it is now, where you put the disc in, the game then downloads to the hard drive, and the disc at that point then just becomes a verification device.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. Okay. That makes sense then. Never mind.
Yeah,
so because how do you verify it? But if you just put the disc in, I assume the Xbox One X reads it as a normal. Yeah,
like so. I don't have a lot of physical discs for my Xbox, but like I have Borderlands 3 physically, and I put that in, and then like the icon is there. I can take the disc out of the tray, but if I try to play Borderlands 3 without the disc in it, it'll say, you know, either put the disc in.
It'll prompt you to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you put the disc in, it'll play it. So my assumption is that it probably handles the same way. And then there was a couple other things in news, Earl, that you have here.
Yes. So what do we want to tackle first? I mean, I guess the big thing, I mean, I guess depending on who you are, is that the new Crash Bandicoot was announced this week. So Crash Bandicoot for Just in Time or Finally Time or something like that was announced, and that's out in October for the PS4 and the Xbox One. I don't know if any of you are Crash fans. I assume Jeff is.
Yay.
I like platformers, so...
I don't like Crash.
I don't like it, but it's not... Like, I'm not like a fan of it. I'll probably get 4, anyways.
That's cool, I guess.
You folks don't sound so enthused. I mean,
it's not really like, I mean, this is kind of like Tony Hawk, right? Like, this is not the fourth game in this series.
No, and I think they made fun of that.
It's a new game, though. Like, you know, if you're into the series, like, I am worried. Isn't like Toys for Bob making it though, or something like that?
Let's find out.
I want to say, like, when I saw the first artwork from it, I said, Toys.
It's about time.
I typed in Crash Bandicoot 4, and Google gave me Crash Bandicoot, The Wrath of Cortex.
which is its own trilogy, right? Or am I... There are multiple games in that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you are
right. Yes, and it is Toys for Bob.
We're just giving all sorts of bad info out right now.
We really are.
It's Toys for Bob. It's Crash Bandicoot Just in Time. It's out on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One this October. That is the information that we have that you folks need to know.
What's wrong with Toys for Bob, Jeff?
Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam.
Which is fine. They were mostly behind the Skylander games.
Yeah, and it does look like they did the Spyro. They did the Crash trilogy.
Yeah, the remaster of the trilogy. They did the Spyro remasters.
That is weird.
I guess they're okay.
You have to make Skylanders. You have to do the Spyro trilogy, and then you give them Crash instead of a new Spyro game.
Yeah.
Well, they also did the Crash the Crash trilogy remaster as well.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know. I guess to me, like, their pedigree is not like, oh my god, you know. I don't know. Sure. I mean, it's the right fit, probably, and like hopefully it turns out good.
Oh, Toys for Bob helped on the Crash trilogy. Not the Vicarious Visions is listed as the primary.
I will probably buy it, to be honest.
Yes, you will.
I want to support platformers on any 3D platformer, even though that one's kind of like very narrow 3D platformer, like on a track almost.
I bought the trilogy and haven't played through it, so I'm probably out for Crash 4 for a while.
Yeah, but think of like the modern touch.
Yeah, but I didn't like Crash originally. Spyro, a different story. Like I think that's more what I'm looking for. But you can enjoy it, Jeff. It's all you.
I'm not saying I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just saying I support. I support the genre.
I support the genre. What else did we have? In minor news, Smite, which I assume stands for something,
because it was originally a game where you played as like mythological gods.
Oh, so it's like Smite, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it is introducing a crossover with Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra next month. So that's exciting. Yeah. I mean, I've never played the game. I might get on it just to do the Avatar stuff because, I mean, it's disappointing that they don't really have a great Avatar game. You would think it's ripe for like a classical RPG with the different tribes and elements and everything. And the move that they already teach you in the TV show that you can give people to do. Whatever. And there was the Platinum game, which Platinum had a period of time where Platinum's fantastic, but they also had that company that was just doing like their licensed titles, and that was not going well.
Oh, and that was one of I remember they did the Korra game, right? And that was bad.
Yeah, they did the Korra, they did Transformers, and I think they did the Ninja Turtles game.
Yes. I thought the Transformers game was okay though.
Yes, but it's not their best.
Yep. So Smite, I would try that again. I did not love it when I played it when it came out. It was fine. It's third person. You like have direct control over the hero you choose. So,
yes. In other news about online multiplayer titles, we had the announcement that shook the world. We're getting a Pokemon MOBA, or a Pokemon Dota, or Pokemon League of Legends, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, it's I will say this much for Nintendo and I mean the Pokemon company. I love them to death. I especially love when they pretend like a genre doesn't exist and they're going through like how do you play this is League of Legends. They're saying you go through, you capture points, try to get more points than your opponents before time runs out, or you capture their home base and this game over. But they dressed it up with Pokemon. And I mean, honestly speaking, I think it has a ton of potential. It's not like League of Legends isn't it's a huge game in general. But I think Nintendo has this tendency of really taking genres and being able to kind of simplify them that anybody can play them, while still having a depth that it's easy enough for you to graduate to other games later on down the road when you want more complexity.
Yeah, so. I'm willing to give it a try.
That's right. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't found a MOBA I like yet, so.
I enjoyed Arena of Valor, or what is that called? It's Arena of Valor, but it's another name that it was on mobile devices. But, much like Pokemon, I tried Arena of Valor because they introduced DC characters, and if anything, I'm a whore for DC characters.
Yes, you are.
Sorry, I'm not denying it.
That was too loud.
So I was like, yeah, and I ended up enjoying that one. But like a lot of free-to-play games, like there comes a point where like the hook is just like, this is fun, but I'm going to move on to other games. And I assume the same thing will happen with Smite and Pokemon. It's not Pokemon MOBA, it's actually called Pokemon Unite. And it's weird, because I could be mistaken, because Pokemon Unite and Pokemon Snap, they were announced, but none of them have actual dates.
No. Which means that they're future slate is very sparse right now because we don't know what's coming out after Paper Mario, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Though I don't have this in the news because I followed it and I did not follow it. There was a new Game Plus Expo presser, and part of me was like, I was super excited to see it because I feel like this is the Japanese presence that E3 never has. But then I'm like, there's a lot of visual novels, and these are all really sketchy-looking games that I don't know if I want to pay. Yeah, that was pretty much the new Game Expo. I mean, I think the big announcement for people I don't play the game is Yaz 9, which is like an action RPG that does, you know, it's decent. It's like a mid-budget franchise.
And I think YS.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And I think they Deadly Premonition 2.
Oh, right, that's coming soon.
So yeah, those were kind of the big thing. And then, like I said, visual novels and some other titles. I have paid attention to it. You know, the one downside to a lot of these conferences is everybody's like, "Oh, we're gonna do it in the middle of the day." I still work.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm like in the middle of like a conference call. Can I watch this and do this at the same time? No, I can't.
Yeah, I don't like. I get it, but like, yeah, there's no big deal. Like, you can wait until 6.
I'll call on mute and fucking.
No, my boss is like, "Oh, Tony, what do you think?" And I'm like,
and you're like, "Oh, what are we talking about?"
I totally did that today, where I wasn't even watching anything. I just wasn't fucking paying attention and
spacing out.
Yeah, this guy goes, "And Chris, you'll take care of that. You'll add Christy and give her the report." I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah,
then you start texting somebody else. Like, what the fuck were they like, saying?
This is why you have like a friend at work.
Yeah, like, yeah, you gotta have someone have your back.
Yeah, so, like, now I need to email this Christy person and go, "I'm sorry, my notes make no sense. What am I supposed to say?"
That's awesome.
I guess is anybody still playing Smash?
I would. If you guys want to come over and play some, I'll play it.
I think I'll go back to it. It's not the character I wanted, but it's something. I'm happy that ARMS is getting some representation. I think it's one of those franchises that, Nintendo always gets crap for not creating new franchises, right or wrong. And I think ARMS was a good opportunity, and they've just really not done anything with it since then. Yeah, and it's nice. I mean, I would have preferred Twintao. Just because Nintendo reacts minority characters, and she's a really popular character in that game. She's female and she's African American. Min Min's fine too if she's Asian, which oddly enough is also a rarity for Nintendo. And she's like proper Asian, where I think someone like the Fire Emblem, again, I apologize for starting this show, where I think a lot of the Fire Emblem characters are just kind of coded as white.
Yeah, they tend to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they look, at the very least, so...
I feel like that happens in Japanese games a lot. Like, their characters look white, even though they're supposed to be Japanese.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's kind of what we're going through right now. It's like, a lot of people just assume white skin sells better on a global level, so they just make it safer for them to sell outside of Japan. Yeah. Like, the flip side is, like, you got how, like, JRPGs, like, you know, outside like Final Fantasy, a lot of them don't do well, and those are very Japanese-looking design.
Yeah. So yeah, the Min Min is coming to Smash. Did they announce anything else? There's more characters coming, right?
There's more characters coming, but like with everybody else, they don't want to say, so they're not going to say, because who knows for the next few months. Like, it was really weird, because, like, this video, I mean, I assume these are all pre-recorded, but he said the date at the start of this, which is, like, May 2nd. And he was like, "I hope the world's a better place now." I'm like, dude, it is not. It might be worse than it was on May 2nd. Who knows?
Was an optimistic take then. Still not good now. The last thing you have on here is Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory.
Which is ironically probably one of their penis subtitles in some time.
Yeah.
I know what all those words mean.
It is a rhythm-based game that is coming out later this year for, I think, all three systems.
Yep.
That is it a retelling of parts of three, or
so it is. There's a side character that I guess you don't play as, and you are going through her memories.
Oh, okay.
In this game,
I just thought the reaction to it was really funny because I think a lot of people thought they were out. It was the end of the series. Like, no, we have more story to tell. And I think they actually had to put out a press release being like, oh, this, you thought this was the end of the saga, but no, there's more story to tell. Now we can focus on so-and-so. And people were just like, no.
Please stop. that series never ending. It's a huge series for them.
Yeah. Especially when they take forever to make Final Fantasy.
Tony is out on this one. I know fully.
Oh, God. Okay.
Wow. You are not a rhythm game player.
No. So. My rhythm is great. My rhythm games, no, thank you.
I Square did a good job with they released two Final Fantasy rhythm games, Theat Rhythm, on the 3DS, and I think that eventually came to the iOS as well. Those games are great, but Final Fantasy also has like really memorable music.
Yeah.
The memorable music from Kingdom Hearts is like Disney stuff to me. So, I don't know. I think they'll probably get the gameplay on it. It'll probably be perfectly fine. I'm just worried about like music-wise, like is it going to be enough? Maybe there is some like good stuff in Kingdom Hearts and I just don't remember it, but
that sounds about everybody in the story, so I mean, not surprising. It sounds like Kingdom Hearts is like one of those games you kind of go into a trance and it's over and then you don't know what happened for the last like 60 hours of your life.
Yeah, that's about it. It seems about right. And I'm sure this never-ending E3 will continue next week, so we'll have more news coming. Because Microsoft's event's not for two more weeks, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like the 7th, I think. So, what have you guys been playing this week?
Done all talk at once.
Nothing.
Awesome.
You know what I've been playing. Come on.
You have been playing Apex and yep. Warhammer.
That's right. No, there's one. Apex is doing an event this week that was made for me. It was literally made with me in mind. It's a shotguns and sniper rifles only, which of course are my two favorite weapons. So I've been racking up the kills. I actually just passed my kill count for all of last season, and we're only halfway through this current season. So I'm feeling pretty good about how things are going right now.
And you're mostly playing ranked right now, right?
That's right.
Nice.
And you're still carrying a lot to victory?
I can carry anybody to victory now. I'm a carrier.
Resident Evil franchise.
Do you have all the achievements in it yet?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I completed it last season. The achievements, actually, once you start playing, are none of them are particularly hard.
Yeah, it's just like win as this character, win as all the characters, or like win as all types of characters. Like,
yep.
The other one is like what, reach level 50, which if you play enough, that'll happen. The one that seemed difficult to me was the, I think it was like equip the gold tier weapons and armor. I never came across both at the same time.
They're actually not that hard to find once you start playing. Like, they all end up in one spot.
You mean, essentially, once you start killing other people and they drop it?
Well, no, so there are vaults on the... It's the new map, there are vaults, where if you go inside, you can find a gold shield, a gold helmet, and a gold backpack and everything all at once.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
I assume those places get busy, though.
So
that they get busy, Tony. Like
they do. Well, no, you can't. You have to have a key to get in. So there are these robots that fly across that you need to shoot down, And you have to shoot them down at the exact right moment. And if you do, when they land, you can burst them open and get a vault key. So it's not easy.
Okay. So it's not like, oh, everybody drops in this one section and
right, exactly.
This got it.
Exactly.
I should jump on and let Tony finish off my achievements for me.
I'm trying to picture Tony's top 10 list this year.
Apex and Total War Warhammer 2, which came out 4 years ago, and yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that is not. I don't know why I was reminded of that, but I think because Jeff said it. Like the other news is Animal Crossing has got a new update next week, which includes you can do swimming and diving now, and so you can venture out further from your island.
I think it's just going to make me more mad. I can't go and sit in my pool.
Why can't you go sit in your pool?
Huh?
Or do you live in like an apartment complex?
In the game.
No, in the game. Like, you can't sit in your... You can't sit... in the game, you can't sit in your, like, you know, like, anything no, like that. Could. It sucks.
It's like, weird. You like, yeah, you could use the bathroom, but you can't... Like, you could turn on the shower, but you can't shower. You could turn on the sink, but you can use the bathroom. You can take a dump.
Yeah.
Ew. It's disgusting.
Well, to take out the fruit so you don't go Hulk on stuff. But yes, I guess I'll go next.
Sure.
I've been playing a bit of stuff. I'll start with, I think I talked about this last time I tried it out. Dauntless, which I mentioned before, is essentially kind of a Monster Hunter-esque game. Some friends, because Diablo's in between season, so some friends were like, you know, we have a game night set up and we didn't know what to play, so we were like, I was like, oh, Dauntless is free, it's a co-op, it's four players, so we hopped on that and we've been doing that. And again, I think it's much better with a core group of four people because you kind of all know what you're doing. You all have your cast and weapon. Like right now I'm doing Warpike, a friend's doing the hammer, another one's doing the sword and stuff like that. So you kind of have a game plan on how to take out the enemies and, you know, like who's going to wound, who's going to stagger, who's going to, you know, do the damage to take out, like, chop off body parts so you can, you know, scrap it for materials that you need. So, yeah, it remains fine. I still prefer it to Monster Hunters in many ways. The biggest being that it's not impossible to set up a game with friends. There's no magical hurdle to have somebody go forward in time to see a cutscene and then invite everybody over after the fact. You know, like, you don't, like, you go together to a hunt. It's not like, oh, I found a monster, I'm going to set up a fear so that you folks can now join me in battle while you hang out in a lot of stupidness that I have with my social world. But yeah, I will say the one thing, and that's not surprising if you own a Switch, is the game is jacked cookie as hell. And none of my, they just started it, so they want to play on the Switch. I'm like, you know, I do have a PS4 Pro with it installed. I could just kind of hop on that, but they didn't create an Epic account, so I don't think I could do crossplay with them. So yeah, I've been playing that. Like I mentioned last week, I ended up getting Ring Fit Adventure. I've only played for like half an hour. There's a lot of setup involved with that.
Really?
But well, because like it's Nintendo, so they take you. I mean, it's not just Nintendo, but they take you through the steps. So because it's a, you know, you have the wheel. The Joy-Con, part of the Joy-Con goes into that, and then you have a thing that goes over your thigh, and the Joy-Con goes into that, and then you have to calibrate it, so, you know, and then after that, what you should do, you do some warm-up exercises before you actually start the game, then it tells, you know, it's the first time I was playing, so I have to go to the tutorial, like, how to play the game, how to interact with the world, how to move around stuff. So by the time I did all of that, I played the actual gameplay 15 minutes. Whereas I'm completely out of shape for anything. I mean, part of it is because, you know, I am above people, so I can't do any of the jogging stuff. So, like, their alternative to jogging is just doing rapid squats, which is...
Not fun. Yeah.
not that running in place is any better, but, I mean, at least you can... Because like, I think the problem with doing the squats is, like, one of your main attacks early on is also squatting. And that's a deep squat, so you have to squat for, like, I think it's, like, maybe 5 to 7 seconds. Okay, so let me backtrack. Let me backtrack a bit. So Ring Fit Adventure is a fitness RPG. You design a character. You have what they call the Ring Con, which is a giant resist. I forget what it is exactly. And you interact with the world with this. It has a controller on it, so you know by default, like menu navigation, you shift it left to right, and then you squeeze in or pull out. If you squeeze in to confirm, you pull out to deconfirm stuff. And the game itself is that you are on a path and you kind of go around the world collecting coins and stuff like that. And you do that by moving in real life. So by default, you're supposed to run in place. And depending on the speed of what you're running in place, your character moves faster or slower. There are points where you have to jump. So with that, you'd flip the Joy-Con downward, and then you pump that up while also still running to kind of keep up the momentum. You can move side to side while you're running, which again, you know, gives you a twist, and then that will hit stuff to this. Oh, while you're running, you're also kind of pumping it. You're pumping it to kind of do a gust attack.
Keep pumping it, Earl. Go ahead.
This whole thing sounds super sexual.
It does. It really does.
There's no good way to. I mean,
there's no good way to pump it. I mean, you just gotta do it.
Sometimes you have to pull out.
Yes, you do. And then so it's an RPG, so. So you'll end up in combat. Usually it's like one-on-one combat. You'll end up, and then how you attack is based off of the fitness attacks you want to do. So like with the squats are, I believe, they're like a power attack. So you squat down for about, at first you squat down for, I think it's like 7 seconds. And then like that's weaker. And as it goes on and on, it wants you to do it faster where you're doing like 2 second squats. So you're doing a squat, you're popping up, you're popping up and that's your attack. So, and then the other attack, again, early on in the game, is an overhead press where you put your hands up and you pull the ring thing apart and then you let go, and that's the attack, and that's kind of like an overhead fist. There's a lot of other attacks you'll knock over the course of the game. And then defense, you turn it around, you put it against your belly, and you squeeze in, and you have to hold that position as they're attacking to prevent damage. So it does work different parts of your body. I'm not going to say it's a replacement for, but it's a nice
it's
way
not
to kind
a
of
replacement
get active.
For actual exercise, but it
no, but helps. It's a nice way to kind of be active while playing the game.
I see.
It's really charming. It's really, you know, it has that Nintendo design where like the characters are really goofy. Like the big bad is like this muscle demon who's working out and he doesn't skip back days.
Sounds awesome.
It's a ton of fun. It's exhausting, but I will pay more of it. What else have I've done? Oh, I got Maneater. I think I'm going to echo pretty much what Chris said. I'm still early on, but I can already kind of see like this is going to be very repetitious. It's yeah, fun, it but yes, there's only so much you can do with a shark that isn't. Swimming around, eating other things, gaining more XPs, going back to your grotto to level up, fighting bigger things. So I will say it because I assume you run into this as well. Like you start off, it's kind of like Metroid. You start off and you have all these abilities and stuff like that. Then that shark gets killed.
Yes.
Then you start from the beginning as a baby shark, and like one of the first missions is to like go eat a bunch of catfish. Yep. And you go eat the catfish, and then it's like, oh, this alligator's here. And it's like a normal game. You're level one, the alligator's level eight, and that thing will wreck you really quickly. So I was happy where I got to the point where like I can actually engage them in battle now, because I've learned how to dodge and time their dodge and when to attack and when to back off. Yeah.
And they're the, at least I found, they're the most fun is like when you're fighting these predators or like fish that are, you know, they can be hostile towards you, or you know, like the crocodile or whatever. And they're fun because it's almost like this back and forth flow with them attacking and you having to dodge and, you know, find a spot to attack as well. Like, I think that and then there's these things called apex predators that you take down, and they're just like bigger, beefed up versions of those creatures in that area, and they're fun. They're fun to fight.
It kind of seems like they're kind of the boss encounter. Though they're all also humans, which actually that's fun to fight because I mean it makes sense from a real world standpoint that humans are better armed to attack you and stuff like that. They have laser sighted guns. They're on boats. They come in groups of like four or five. But they're just not as fun to fight, especially being that like, you have to like you're fighting them on land, not necessarily on land, but like you're jumping out of the water to fight them on the boats and stuff like that. It's not as fun as like, oh, I'm gonna dive in, grab this thing, dodge out of the way with like a barrel roll, essentially. Yeah, grab a smaller fish to regain my health, and then go back and you know go back to attacking the alligator. But yeah, it makes for really fun combat, and I do enjoy that. But but like I said, the core loop of it is essentially find this stuff, level up your shark to get more attacks, go fight bigger stuff, rinse and repeat, and then find a bunch of junk later on the environment. But I think it was something I needed because, like I said, I've been very RPG heavy. I went from a Pokemon to a Xenoblade. I tried out Tales of Vesperia for a bit, and I'm like, it's just nice to kind of do something that's just it's an open world, but it's a tiny open world. So yeah. Far, I assume you expand out to different environments and stuff like that.
Yeah, but even then, like you know, I think there's like maybe 8 or 9 different areas. The whole map isn't that big, so
yeah.
It's not like this massive open world.
And then it's and then it's like fast travel, which is funny for a shark between like the grottos and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's you know, and I got it for I think $25, which I think when Chris mentioned it, I think I said $20-$25 would have been my sweet spot, not necessarily $40 where it was at. So yeah, I'm happy with the purchase so far, and. Was there one more? I've mentioned Torchlight before several times.
Did you? You said you might try Ninjala.
Yes, Ninjala. So I did try that a little before we started the show. It's a free to play melee game. I guess is the best thing to say about it. I think I shared the impressions that I had when I played the beta, and for the most part, that hasn't changed. Like, I still don't necessarily know what I'm doing in the game. It does remain fun, but it feels like sometimes you just kind of get locked in combat, and it's whoever strikes first is going to end up winning the encounter most of the times. I think, you know, once I put more time into it, the one good thing that you do get to see with this one that you don't get to see in the beta is the customization options, and there are a bit more stuff to play around with. So I'm excited to see that as well. And I heard it was issues yesterday, but when I played tonight, it was fine. I had no issues with finding the game. So, like, I would, you know, I played three games before my friends wanted to hop on Dauntless tonight. So, yeah, it's enjoyable. I it's free to play. I would recommend. I mean, I always recommend free to play games. So,
because the price is right.
And then
come on down.
I think next week I'm going to hop back onto Destiny.
Ooh.
Well, because everything's free now, or is there... Or, I mean, not everything's free, but it's free to play, which I guess is not true, because I need to insert the disc on my PS4.
That's weird.
Maybe because it's the Forsaken? Yes.
The late... I don't remember what the... Was it Shadowkeep? Whatever the latest expansion is still paid.
Okay, I mean, I don't even mind that. I would just straight up pay the free content.
Enjoy. I finally deleted that off of my hard drive.
Did you?
Yeah, because they started putting in stuff like content you can actually miss.
Yes, and I think that's part of the reason I wanted to do it is because like the original content is being phased out at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, I think so. Which is like to me, that's if I jump in, I want to be able to like the way that game was originally set up. You could jump in, play it, and you know there's a natural progression to everything, and then they released. You know, more story content, and I wanted to be able to play that, but now it's like, you can miss this content that we're releasing, so like there was an event that just happened and it had built up to this point where it was a live event. If you weren't in the game at the time, you missed out on seeing it. It has become more of an actual MMO than what it was before. But enjoy your return to it.
I mean, I might or may not. I mean, as I noted, I feel like I don't have a shortage of games to play right now. And if it's not, if I have to use the disc, I'm just not going to do that. Because the whole point of doing it was, like, I didn't think, I mean, I still have the disc, but I'm like, I don't want to have to, like, put in and out the disc.
Right. I understand. Completely. Jeff, what have you been playing?
I've been playing SpongeBob SquarePants Battle, Battle for
Moment
Bikini
we've
Bottom.
All been waiting for. Yes.
Rehydrated.
What is this game, Jeff?
So it's a, you know, it's a 3D platformer, like licensed 3D platformer starring SpongeBob.
Mm-hmm.
It is a game that came out in 2003, and so this is like a, and this is like a full-on remake of it. I've never played the game before. I've never seen an episode of SpongeBob. I'm having a great time with the game. Like, I don't know. Like, it's your standard collectathon like 3D platformer, but I think it's generally well done. Like the new graphics on it, like, look really good. I think, like, just super colorful. You know, I think we've lost Earl here.
Earl, you're still. I will respond to him on there. Go ahead.
Come back, Earl. Come back.
Yeah, super colorful worlds. Like, each of the levels are pretty big. Not saying it's like an amazing, like, it's not like fucking Mario Odyssey or anything, but it's better than a lot of old 3D platformers I've played. You know, there's things about it that are not like 100% perfect, but yeah, I don't know. Nice big levels. Unfortunately, like, all the levels are very big. In fact, there's like one level I kind of get lost in. They are kind of like divided up artificially, where there'll be like a gate at some point through the level and be like, do you want to go to this side of the level? You know? But nothing like hugely wrong. Like, I think some of the reviews I saw for it were pretty unfair. But what were you going to say, Chris?
I forgot.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That happens when you get older, Chris.
Yeah.
I paid $27 for it because you get, like, that 10% off when you pre-order it. No regrets. I think this game is worth $30.
What are you playing it on?
On Xbox.
Okay.
A lot of the reviews did seem to focus on issues, like, with the Switch version, so maybe look out for that. But also, all the reviews were based on like a pre day one patch version of the game, so I don't know how much got fixed from the patch.
But you're not seeing anything egregious.
No, I mean, there's things about the game, like, there's some invisible walls and stuff, and, you know, there's things about the games that say are like hold it back from being like the top tier of platforming. But, like, I don't know, it's generally, I think, a super quality game. So I don't know.
Nice.
I think if you like the genre, you'll be happy with it. And of course, people that grew up on it, I think you'll be happy. But, you know, a lot of people, like, really love this game from back in the day. You know, it's kind of like at the tail end of them making games like that. And I guess it was a good example of it. It's just, like, somehow, I guess when it came out, I assumed it would have been terrible, you know.
Is this a SpongeBob game?
Yeah.
It's funny because the one thing I know about it, I do know people in the game, but I have a person who was super pissed off at GameSpot review because they mentioned some part of the game where there's like a puzzle that he couldn't get past because, like, I guess there's a wind up attack that SpongeBob has that, like, you have to send on a button and when he winds it up, he walks over it.
Yeah.
And this dude went on like a multi day rant of like how easy it is. He figured it out as a kid. I'm just like, you know, take it down a notch.
Hey, but, one review I watched said, like, there's a lot of, like, sliding segments in the game, like, that kind of thing that I like, but you guys said is lame. But
like from that Star Wars game.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, exactly. But like, one review I saw said like that they like they start off easy, but then all of a sudden the game like spikes in difficulty and it gets really hard. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm pretty far in the game. In fact, I'm in a level that is just a bunch of sliding shit. Like it's just like that's how you get all the stars or whatever in the level. I don't think it's hard. Like, if you think that's hard, how the fuck, like, would you play like Super Monkey Ball? Like, Jesus Christ. Like, it's really not. Nothing I've played in this game has been, like, way hard at all. Like, it's standard difficulty, if that.
Nice. Anything else you're playing?
I mean, more backgammon online and shit. Oh, I had a friend come over, and we played backgammon. And I guess he fucking, like, he's, like, good at, like, any board game we play, like, you know, he always ends up being the winner and shit. He did not know how to play backgammon, but he must have fucking looked up before he came over. Because, I'm amazed, because, like, I play it online all the time, and I very rarely lose. And he fucking won 4 in a row, dude.
He owed you.
You gotta try harder, Jeff.
I don't know what happened. He got some amazing dice rolls.
Sure, that's what it was.
It really was.
He's like, I've never played backgammon, and he's like a backgammon master in his spare time.
I've done that before. People be like, hey, you want to play poker? I'm like, well, okay, I don't play much. Anymore.
That's anymore. It. That's all. Oh, I haven't played a lot, but I did treat myself over the weekend to that ridiculous Namco arcade.
Oh yeah,
Namco Museum arcade archives, or I can't exactly remember what the fuck it was. It doesn't really matter. The only reason I bought it was because there is a Pac-Man Championship Edition that has been demastered. So it is, they took the game that was Pac-Man Championship Edition, and they have converted it to being like a Nintendo Entertainment System game.
Weird.
It's very weird. And it plays differently, too, because in Pac-Man Championship Edition, you had the bombs when, like, the ghosts would get close to you.
Your panic button.
Yeah, you could blow them up and make them go away. Whereas in this, there is none. So it is you're still getting like extra lives as you get points up. So you'll build up a nice buffer of lives, but you don't have that like escape button to get away from ghosts. And they seem far more aggressive here for some reason. It looks cool. Music isn't great. Like, it just takes old NES Pac-Man music, which to me is sad because the music in Championship Edition is great. Like, that has a great menu song, and they didn't translate any of that over to this. They just took, like, Pac-Man sounds and music and used that. And there's only the two modes. There's Championship Edition mode, which is you play for 5 minutes and try and get the highest score. And then there is what they call extra mode, which is, it looks like they took the challenges from Championship Edition and just lined them up back to back to back. And you play basically until you die in that one. I don't know. It's fine. It's not worth the $20, I'll tell you that. But
well, it's a collection, though, right? Like, or is that it just is.
Like, I mean, no, there's other games in it. Yeah. Like, I have no interest in the other games.
Standard fucking Namco collection.
Yeah, like
800 times.
It's like, you know, and what's bad about this is that it's like two collections of like 10 games each.
Like, you might have got me if you put them all together for $20. I'm like, all right. Cool.
Or even 30. Like they had just recently released like an arcade collection that had all the games, like a whole bunch of games on it, for $30. Like Yeah, if you give me 20 games for $30, I might jump at that. This only caught my eye because of the demastered edition of Pac-Man CE. What I will say is I kind of think the Joy-Cons suck. At least for this type of game. They're too loose.
Oh, no.
The sticks are...
Yeah, the sticks are just too loose. They're not as responsive as like the 360 sticks. The Pro Controller is better, but even there I noticed that like just my reaction times were not as good. And I was like, oh, shit, maybe I just suck now, right? Like, but then I went and played Championship Edition DX on the Xbox, and I was scoring like about where I expected to score, and I wasn't missing turns with the same consistency as I was in this D-Master. So it's either the controllers are off and the controls are, or the game just isn't calibrated well. I can't really tell one way or the other, but it's not necessarily the ideal way of playing that, but it's fun enough, I guess. I kind of wish I bought it on the Xbox, because then I could play it with like the actual, I could just go one-to-one comparison, like jump from D-Master to the actual game, and then I could tell you directly, but I'm not paying another $20 for it.
it's a cool game to have on the Switch, though, I think. Like, yeah, like that.
It's like jump in, like something to play for 5 minutes or so, and except that's how long a round of Championship Edition takes is 5 minutes. So yeah, it's something nice to have on. I really just wish they would release real Championship Edition DX on there, though. They have Championship Edition 2, but
I know it's a
lesser game.
I know.
It's not,
I never
not
play a bad that game. One.
It's just
I never play
not,
it.
It's just not as good.
Yeah, if you want to play it Pac-Man, you go with DX.
And then the other game I jumped in. So I was waiting on The Last of Us Part 2 to show up, and I have had The Last of Us Remastered on my PS4 hard drive for like a year and a half now. I bought it on sale like 2 years ago. So I was like, maybe I should actually play this because I paid for it. And I started playing that game again. Let's see. Anybody that's listened to this knows that I don't love that game to start with. The game does open fantastically. Like it has a great opening.
Yeah.
And I think like you're immediately emotionally invested in Joel. You kind of, you know, after the tragic events of like when the outbreak started, you're then brought to Boston, and you start to see what life in this virus, you know, this zombie infection kind of environment is. And that's fine. Like, I think the world building in The Last of Us is great. And then you have to play it, and the shooting is Naughty Dog shooting, which is mediocre, I think. The stealth is... it's better than I remembered it being, but I don't think it's great. Like, the AI is really dumb, which I don't remember them being as dumb as they were the first time I played this game, but they are really dumb. I don't know. Like, I'm playing it, I'm enjoying it more than I did the first time, but maybe that's just because I think I enjoyed the opening portion of that. Like that, I think you start out in summer. Yeah, so I'm still in the summer section. I just got to Pittsburgh. So it's mostly been like kind of tutorial stuff in the opening portion. I enjoyed that. There's like a part where you're in this town with this guy, Bill, and that stuff is fun. Some of the character interactions there. Ellie is a great character in this. And you start to see from there, like Joel start to kind of take on the parental role for her. So I'll be interested to see how I react as it goes over. I think I'm going to finish it before starting two, although two people show up. It makes to me, I'd like to have a direct comparison to two.
I guess you'll have the whole story fresh, you know?
Yeah.
But like the thing that's funny to me is like I remember that game feeling long to me, and I guess this one is twice as long or some shit.
Yeah, so I remember like The Last of Us Part One, I guess we'll call it that. I thought it was like 18 hours or so to get through.
It felt at least that, you know what I mean? It felt even longer than that. Like
how long to beat? How long to beat is saying it takes about 14, 15 hours, but I felt that it took longer than that when we played it originally. And it felt long too, though, right? Yeah. Like as you were saying, like there's just these long sections. It's like it overstays its welcome. And I've heard that the new one is 25 to 30 hours long.
That's so insane.
It seems extra long.
Have you ever tried the multiplayer on Last of Us?
I think I did on the PS3 version.
I remember thinking it was pretty cool, actually. Like
I thought the concept was cool because you were like scavenging, right? Like
And you're like kind of, you know, working with a, you know, doing team. I think it might all be team based. I don't know if there is. I don't remember. But
you're playing against other factions. I thought the concept was good, but it suffered from the fact that I just don't enjoy Naughty Dog's gunplay for the most part.
But it is neat. Like you know.
It's a cool concept. I just don't enjoy playing it necessarily. Immediately in this game, though, with the moving dumpsters Ellie can't swim. I've already done multiple box moving puzzles.
I already forgot all about that, so you just said it now. Oh, gotcha.
They're not even box moving puzzles, right? It's not like, you got to move this and like figure out how to do it. It's just like, you got to move this one thing over to here or pick up this plank and move it over to there. Ellie can't swim, so you got to jump in the water, go find something for her to float on and bring it over to her. There's a lot of that in this game, and I'm only like maybe 4 hours in, so. It's just like weird what Naughty Dog picked on to be kind of their design focus. I'm going to play through that. I'll probably finish that this weekend, and then I'll start on two. And I don't think any of you are playing two, so.
Nah.
Nope. I'm waiting for Samurai games.
I want SpongeBob.
SpongeBob is probably the cheerier game, I'll definitely say.
I want my Ghost of Tsushima.
Please. Like that's the one I'm really kind of like excited about. Like Amazon delivered my copy of The Last of Us, and it came with the new Star Wars book, and I looked at both and I'm like, I'd rather read the new Star Wars book before game. Like
it's not a good sign.
I want to play it because I want to know. And that's a bad part of me. I need to get over like wanting to play everything.
You don't have time anymore. Can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have nothing but time.
I guess there's that too.
But I can't play video games in the middle of the workday.
Can.
It's frowned upon.
Yes.
But then you don't get work done. And,
You did say that you didn't say you were going to be productive at work. You can play during the middle of a workday. You shouldn't. Can.
I just have so much, like, I'm at home with my kids, and my wife is also working. Like, it's hard to do stuff that doesn't relate to either of those things during the workday.
Where my games are, I mean, I could bring up a Switch or a handheld or something, but where my games are not where my work setup is at home.
Yeah.
So.
No, I game either in the living room or in, we have an office. But when I work, I actually work in our bedroom.
Oh.
So I'm away from all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I set up my setup so I would be away from my TV and my video, because it would be an easy distraction. I do play during lunch sometimes, I think I mentioned when I got Manita, I was happy because I could just put Manita in, have it like install and do its updates while I'm working, and then when it's done, I'm like, I could take an hour for lunch and check it out.
Yeah. So oddly, we have an office, but I can't work in there because my wife works in here, and she has conference calls all day long. Drives me nuts. And it's not a big office. Like, she's literally like 4 feet away from me on the phone. I need to be somewhere else. Let me out.
I could see that. my wife just took a new job with the school district here, and she has been on meetings all week, and she's like, I can't work with you down here. You're on calls all day. So she set up like an office in our bedroom as well, just to get away from me.
We got a new dining room table. So I took the old table and replaced my computer desk with it. And then I took my old computer desk and moved it into the bedroom.
There you go. Yeah. So time. And while we were sitting here talking, I bought a game on the Steam sale.
Of course you did. What did you buy? Did you buy something good at least?
Bought Sniper Elite, the original one.
God. Oh no, you didn't buy a good game.
It was $2.
Okay.
I bought it because I wanted, like, I've been like looking at it on the PlayStation 2 and be like, I want to play it. But it's like $60 on the PlayStation 2. Like, so I was like, oh, this is $2, and I've had it on my wish list forever. So I purchased it, and it's probably going to be bad.
There's a bunch of strategy games I want. I'm going to probably get one of them, but I should like play the strategy games I already have, but I have no willpower.
Get new games. Get new games. It'll happen.
Get new games that we don't need because we already have 1,000 other games we haven't played yet.
That's exactly it. I absolutely don't need a single new game, not at all, but I want them.
Yeah. So, like, know. I'm sitting here like, why isn't it July, the middle of July, so we can have Ghosts?
This is the problem. Like, I think back to like, you know, 10, 15 years ago where I'm like, I really want that game, but I can't afford it. Now it's like, I can get any game I want and I have no time to play them.
Yeah, that is the problem of growing up. It's like, oh, honestly, it's the same thing. I think I said this at the start of this quarantine. It's like, oh man, I'm home. I got all this time now. And it's like, no, you don't, because you work. And then you're so mentally drained from the fact that your environment's the same. Like, I just don't want to look at anything at home anymore.
Right.
I see you all day.
Yeah. Like, I get to the end of the game, or end of the day, and do I want to play a game? Yes. Do I want to play a new game? Not really, because I don't want to think. Like, my brain is off. And playing a new game involves, like, learning the mechanics, or if it's a strategy game, like, that's, like, it might involve, like, reading a manual, which is, like, 80 pages long, and do I want to do that? No, I don't. So I end up playing Total War and Apex Legends, because I know how to play those, and I can just hop on and play right now.
That's I've been doing that with Forza. Like, I just like, oh, I have Forza 6 here. I haven't finished that. And racing is mindless. Like, it's just, you turn it on and go around in a circle.
A new Total War game comes out. Okay, I'll play it. You know why? I don't have to play the tutorial. Right. I already know how to play.
You know the rules. You know how it plays. Ghost is going to be interesting, though, because we don't know how that one plays.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but when you get excited for a game, though, it's different.
Yeah.
And there haven't been, I mean, have there been any games like that this year? I don't know that. I haven't had any.
Yeah, I think Jeff and I were excited for Doom.
Sure, but you knew how to play Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited for anything. Like, it's like, I get something to look forward to in a week. Yay! the thing that I noticed, and part of it is, like, you know, like, I used to change my Twitter name all the time for like whatever was coming out next, and I've not changed. Like, it's been quarantine like the entire.
I did notice you stopped changing. I'm like, wow, Earl. It must really be getting dark now.
Like, what am I getting excited for? Like, there's no new movies coming out. There's been like, I think during this quarantine, I've gotten two games, actual new games that came out this time, which were Animal Crossing and Man-Eater. I mean, I got Xenoblade, but that doesn't count because I have that game anyhow. Yeah, so I mean, it is why I like it's it, to the point. Like I said, like when the movie now comes out on streaming, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna watch that on a Friday night. Like I did Artemis Fowl, and I did crap. What was that Netflix? I was gonna say what was that crappy Netflix movie, but it does not narrow it down at all.
No, it doesn't.
And that's a real shame. Or Scoob was really bad.
Was Scoob bad?
I did not ick Scoob.
At least I didn't pay for that, right? I haven't seen it yet, but it's on HBO Max. So.
Yeah. So stuff like that happens, and these fireworks don't help.
The fireworks that the police department are setting off.
I mean, at first, I thought it was a funny conspiracy, and there are people. I mean, there are videos of like cops like helping and stuff like that. But at this point, I just assume it's a combination of people who probably buy fireworks in general, got them for cheaper this year, and they have no place to go because like usually I would imagine they go to a park or the pier to set them off. Like, no, we're all home, so we're just gonna do this. But.
Earl being nice and giving the police the benefit of the doubt.
are we done this week?
I'm sure there's going to be more news. We'll play some stuff.
I mean, more than news, more than anything next week. Next week is a super special edition as we present the red, white, and blue, patriotic, perfectly sane, Independence Day spectacular drunk cast. I added the Independence Day stuff now. But yes, because we record on Thursday, and I assume, like me, you folks have the third off of 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. I think I might take some other days off, too. Why not?
I take the Monday. Like, I tell my friends, like, what is your plans for the 4th of July? My plans is to run from the 2nd to the 5th because I can't go anywhere. And
I'm supposed to have off from Thursday through Sunday, but that's not going to happen.
Why? Does Mel get the order on the 4th of July?
What's that?
Mel get the order on?
No, I'll have the 4th of July off, and I will have that Friday off too, but I was supposed to have Thursday too, and I'm not going to get it.
Oh, no.
Nah, it's not like the end of the world, but still, it's kind of bullshit.
So, Earl, you had an idea for outside of us drinking and celebrating the 4th of July.
No, I still want to drink.
We're still going to do that. But Earl had another idea on top of that.
And I don't even know if this idea is going to work. I don't know if there are many, but I thought it would be an interesting time to kind of get games that are either patriotic in nature or make you feel patriotic. And I mean, part of that, I think, you know, there are games like I think war games for Americans are very patriotic in that, and their weird, perverted sense of being in the world. But then there's like which one took place in America?
Three. Liberation and Rogue.
I would imagine a lot of American games deal with that concept. Not necessarily patriotic, but I feel like, I mean, and depending on what you think of it, I would imagine something like Maneater, because that makes me think of Jaws, which, oddly enough, is an Independence Day movie. Or something like, you know, there's Rocky video games, which, again, kind of defeats the purpose. But, again, Rocky is a very kind of patriotic American coming-of-age story.
Sure. You guys are going to love my list of games here. It's going to be fun.
It's gonna be
I've got a lot of patriotic games. I'm very patriotic.
Broforce. I think Saints Row, not the fourth one, because you're the American president.
I mean, what's more patriotic than being the president?
I mean,
wow.
Yeah,
we are in the darkest timeline.
I mean, I guess, and I mean, oddly, in some odd way, I think a lot of those open world games like Saints Row, where you are, it's a rag to riches story. We don't have to question how you get to riches. Are the American dream perverted? Far Cry 5. I mean, we could discuss this and come up with stuff next week.
Yeah, let's we'll bring up. everyone bring some games. We can discuss them. We'll tell you what the most patriotic games are. I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
And we're going to do this while consuming alcohol, so this is going to go super well.
Excellent. So we will be back next week to talk about all these fun things while we're drinking. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.